KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's mostly cloudy and 52 degrees. We'll look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with the chance of light rain changing to light snow or flurries, and temperatures falling from the 50s into the 20s by this afternoon. It'll be windy as well, with southerly winds shifting to the northwest at 20, gusting at times to 45 miles per hour. There is a winter weather advisory in effect from noon today until midnight for Cass and some of our area counties, and a variety of other warnings, watches, or advisories in effect for the remaining part of the listing area. We'll tell you more about that during our weathercast coming up after this broadcast. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. A U.S. Department of Justice investigation concludes the constitutional rights of intellectually disabled residents at a state-run facility in southwest Iowa were likely violated when they were used in human experiments. The report also says residents were subjected to physical harm due to a lack of adequate health care. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
In a written statement issued late Tuesday, an assistant U.S. Attorney General said residents at the Glenwood Resource Center were treated like human guinea pigs and subjected to bizarre and deviant sex experiments. The Justice Department report also suggests top agency officials were deliberately indifferent to the physical care of residents as well as the inappropriate use of physical restraints. Governor Kim Reynolds has already fired the center's superintendent and dismissed the head of the state agency that oversees the facility. Reynolds uses the word unacceptable to describe the conditions outlined in this new report. Reynolds says she is committed to addressing whatever challenges remain at the facility. I'm O.K. Henderson.
The governor says current Department of Human Services Director Kelly Garcia, who started work in November of last year, has already made changes at Glenwood. The Department of Justice has provided state officials with a list of changes that should be made at the facility. U.S. Senators Joni Ernst and Chuck Grassley from Iowa, members of the Senate Judiciary Committee last night, issued a joint statement with regard to the DOJ's findings. They said the findings of this investigation into the Glenwood Resource Center are sickening and intolerable. Our hearts break for the families and loved ones who have already been directly impacted by this tragic news. And the senators said that we appreciate Governor Reynolds' responsiveness to the situation at the state level. And in the Senate, we will continue to work on behalf of all Iowans, including those with disabilities, to ensure folks have the care and support they need. And again, a statement from Senators Ernst and Grassley from Iowa. The Red Oak Police Department reports 30-year-old Eric Van Osdell of Red Oak was arrested around 9:35 p.m. Tuesday for assault with intent to commit serious injury. Van Osdell was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $2,000 bond. The Iowa Department of Public Health today, as of 7 a.m., reports Cass County has reached 1,000 positive cases of COVID-19 since the pandemic record-keeping began. Since 10 a.m. Tuesday, there have been 16 new positive cases in our county. Audubon County has 19 new cases. Harrison County's case count is up 24. There are 96 more cases of positive COVID-19 in Pottawatomie County, where the total to date is nearly 7,800, and more than 18 cases in Union County for a total there of 991. As of today, there are 271,015 new confirmed positive cases of the virus statewide since the outbreak began, with an additional 1,995 cases confirmed within the past 24 hours. Now, the IDPH will update 24-hour death numbers at 10 a.m. Yesterday, the coronavirus dashboard had indicated there were 3,653 deaths to date. Of Iowa's pandemic-related deaths, COVID-19 was reported as the underlying cause for 3,335. For 298 Iowans, COVID-19 was a contributing factor to their deaths. The website says 3,352 of the state's deaths involved Iowans with pre-existing conditions. And COVID-19 outbreaks at long-term care facilities account for 1,137 of the state's total deaths. The IDPH also says 127 COVID-19 outbreaks are occurring among Iowa's long-term care facilities in the state. That accounts for 5,192 of the current positive cases. More than 1.32 million Iowans have been tested for COVID-19. The average positivity rate is 12.6% over the last 14 days. And taking a look at the hospitalization data out this morning, that shows 644 Iowans with COVID-19 or symptoms of that virus are in hospitals across the state. That is down from 651 yesterday. There are 139 COVID patients in an ICU. 113 were admitted to a hospital over nearly the past 24 hours compared to 71 yesterday, and 71 were on a ventilator. Hospitals in Western and Southwest Iowa report 42 hospitalized, 15 ICUs, and 5 people admitted. 8 COVID patients remain on a ventilator. In the funeral announcements, Max Sanford, age 15, of Manning, died Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Max Sanford will be today at 10:30 at the IKM Manning School. Odie Funeral Home in Manning says due to COVID, the gymnasium will not be at full capacity. The doors will open at 10 a.m. The funeral for Max Sanford will be live-streamed on the IKM Manning School District website. John Jessen, age 66, of Anita, died Sunday at Caring Acres Nursing Home in Anita. Graveside services for John Jessen will be today at 3 o'clock at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Anita has arrangements. Roger Moss, age 71, of Atlantic, died Saturday at his home. A private family memorial service for Roger Moss will be today at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Social distancing and mask use are requested. Andy Jacob Redenbaugh, age 26, of Shelby, died Sunday in an accident on I-80. The family of Andy Redenbaugh will greet friends on Sunday from 1 until 4 p.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Douglas Francis Bryant, age 63, of Avoca, died Thursday. No services for Douglas Bryant are planned at this time. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Ramona Grace Small-Govig, age 91, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A private committal service for Ramona Govig will take place at the Grant Cemetery at a later date. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. John Novi, age 88, of Greenville, died December 12th. A massive Christian burial for John Novi will be held at a later date at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has the arrangements. Dwayne Bandy, age 86, of Panora, died December 17th. Cremation has taken place, and memorial services for Dwayne Bandy will be held at a later date. Twig Funeral Home in Panora is assisting the family. Gene McCaslin, age 91, of Greenfield, died Saturday in Kansas. Funeral services for Gene McCaslin are pending with the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Bonnie Sherman, age 71, of Adair, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Arrangements for Bonnie Sherman are pending at this time and handled by the staff at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Adair. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.